So last Wednesday, we entered into the season of Lent, and today is the first Sunday in Lent. Lent is a 40-day period where the whole purpose of this season is try to renew us, try to look inside and sort of sort them things out and find out how we can be more faithful in our daily response to God. And so for this Lenten season, I've got a sermon series that I want to share with you. It's called Spiritual Growth, One Step at a Time. And I chose these words because most of us, when we're developing spiritually, we don't have that instantaneous experience that all of a sudden we become these incredibly faithful and spiritual people. Some individuals encounter that. St. Paul, remember the story of Damascus? Saw the light and bam! He went from a person who persecuted. He was going to Damascus to haul all the Christians out of there and take them back and to throw them in prison. And in that second, he went from being the persecutor of the church to the greatest proclaimer of the faith that we have known. But most of us don't encounter faith that way. It is an ongoing process. It's a development that takes place one step at a time. And so all the way through the five Sundays in Lent, I want to help you take one more step and hopefully helping you become a little stronger in your faith. Next week, I'm going to talk about the courage of faith. I'm going to talk about the question, what kind of courage does it take? And where do we have to find the most courage in life and to face some of the greatest giants in our life? It's going to be very fascinating because it's probably not what you're going to think it is. But how do we have the courage to do that? The next week, on the 24th, I'm going to talk about recovery from poor choices. Ever made a poor choice in your life? Anybody ever mess up? I'm going to tell you a great story about how you turn things around. How do we recover from poor choices? And on the 31st, I'm going to talk about resources for dry times. If you're a Christian, you have likely encountered those times when your spiritual life seems dry and nothing seems to be developing. And you kind of, sometimes people have the idea they feel like they're stuck or that they feel like they're thirsting or they're hungry. And it just can't be fed. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And then on April the 2nd, I'm going to talk about living with purpose. How do you live intentionally with purpose that brings richness and fullness to our lives? But today I'm going to talk about the significance of belief. Beliefs are incredibly significant. And Paul is talking about that in the passage from that 10th chapter of Romans. And he's talking to the early church of Rome about how important our beliefs are because they shape us and they help us to live the kind of life that God is calling us toward. And so if you're not living the life that you're wanting, if you don't think you're being as faithful as you possibly can, it begins with your beliefs. What's going on in here? And so I want to talk a little bit about that today in this story that I just read for you. It happens right after the baptism of Jesus. So Jesus was this guy who was working in the carpet shop with Joseph, his father, wasn't really well known. Would have been known in Nazareth because that's where they ran the business. But then he went to the Jordan River, and John, the other dude here, John baptizes Jesus in the Jordan River. And all of a sudden, things shift and change. The Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus. There is this voice that the spiritual people hear that says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then instantly from that, Jesus goes out into the desert region. He goes out to be alone. He wants to think. He wants to reflect. He wants to figure out, what do I need to do if I'm going to carry out this mission that God has for me on earth? So he goes there intentionally to figure it out and to wrestle. And in the wrestling, he begins to encounter some of the temptations. And these temptations are Jesus' identification with humankind. because we always think that Jesus is different than us, and it was easier for Jesus than us. And this story talks about how Jesus identifies with our struggle, with our temptations, the times when we choose poorly. You ever watch Raiders of the Lost Ark? You know that scene? And they lift up the chalice and the drink, and it turns into a skeleton. You guys don't watch enough television. And the knight says, he chose poorly. And so Jesus is working on this, and he wants to confront all the issues. And the temptations of Jesus reveal some really important things for you and I. And the first thing it reveals are the roadblocks to faith, the roadblocks to a deeper discipleship. These are the roadblocks that prevent us from moving on. You might be a little bit like Christ, but these roadblocks come in. And if you don't deal with them, they're going to impede your progress. They're going to stop you from moving forward, even if you want to. And so in these temptations, Jesus really prepares us and helps us as he is thinking about his ministry with God. And he talks about these deep hungers within all people. That means you would be part of the all. You got that? Right? So these are hungers that you and I wrestle with. And there are three hungers that he wrestled with in the desert in this great story from Luke's gospel. The first one is the hunger for material things. This one really has no significance in the third world. People in the third world don't have great hungers for material things. Why? Why? They don't have any money. They have nothing. It's always amazing when we go down to Honduras and to third world, people go back, I can't believe how happy these kids are, how happy people are. They got nothing. And yet they seem to have this joy. Well, they don't worry about this hunger. This is a huge one for you and I. Why? Because you've got it, right? Your bank accounts have that. And every time you get more money, what do we do with that? We go, I can invest it and make more. Or I can go on another trip. Or I can buy a better car. Or I can go on and buy a bigger house. And for the first world, this hunger of the heart is huge. This hunger of the heart because we want material things. It's not like you need another shirt. Go to the closet, there's like just 15 shirts there, right? Four of them you haven't worn for the last 8 months. But you just got to go and have this other shirt or a pair of shoes, ladies, eh? You just got to have another pair of shoes. Like there's 60 pairs of shoes in the closet. You can't wear them in a week, all of those shoes. But you see these shoes and you go, man, I just got to have them. And this hunger is huge. It's one of the hungers of our hearts that we wrestle with. Second hunger, though, is the hunger for power and praise. Devil takes Jesus, shows him all the kingdoms of the world. He says, see all these things, and in a moment he just sees this all with great clarity, all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, I have the ability to give those to you. I can give to anyone I want, and if you worship me, I'll give those to you. And the second temptation is about this hunger for power and for praise or glory. And people want positions, right? They want recognition. If I do something here, I want to be recognized. I want people to take notice that I did this. I want people to know that it was me that did whatever it was. And we have this incredible hunger for recognition. We want people to notice us. And Jesus had this incredible hunger as well, and he's wrestling with that. And he responds. But the third hunger is the hunger for proof. This is another one that's really huge in our world. Prove to me that God exists. Anybody ever said that to you? Right? Prove to me. And so the devil takes him up to the pinnacle, right? The temple, the holy temple, right? Takes Jesus way up there. He says, just jump off. just launch off there, you know. This was before bungee cord jumping, right? There was nothing on his leg at this point. And the devil says, just jump off, because this is what the scripture says, that God will send the angels down because you're the Son of God and swoop you up and stop you from bruising even a part of your foot. So just jump off and prove that you are who you say you are. And then Jesus responds. And these temptations, these hungers that Jesus wrestled with before his ministry started, are the same hungers that exist in you and I that prevent us from growing spiritually. Lots of people come to me and say, oh, I just want to grow spiritually. I just want to be deeper. I want to be a stronger disciple. But the only way you can do it is face these hungers. And the question is, where do we face these hungers? Where's the wilderness of your life? Well, it's not a physical wilderness. Most of you haven't been to a desert. Some of you who have been fortunate enough to have wealth and travel the world, you've been to a desert, right? You've seen this kind of a situation, but for most of us, that's not where we struggle. Where do you struggle the most? Anybody want to guess? In the wilderness of your mind. It's the internal desert. It's the struggle between your ears. That's the place where people struggle the most. If you're going to mess up, if you're going to screw up, if you're going to make mistakes, it's because it's already happened here. Nobody makes a mistake outside first. They always fail to temptations first in my mind. If I'm going to steal something, I lose the battle here. Not when I take the candy from the shelf. Not when I steal some money from the plate when you're not looking and praying, right? That's not where I make the mistake. The mistake is always here first and foremost. And Jesus understood this. He says, you have to be careful to the voice that you're listening to. Hear any voices inside your head? Eh? All kinds of voices. And the issue is, as spiritual people, as Christians, is to remember whose voice you listen to. And that's what Jesus really sorted out in that wilderness story. He knew whose voice he was going to listen to. It was not going to be the scribes and Pharisees. It was not going to be the people who want more proof that he's the Son of Man. It was not even Pilate, the Roman authorities. The only voice that Jesus was going to listen to were his spiritual values that he had from God. And you and I, that's the scriptures. And so the challenge for you and I to take another step is to wrestle with our personal hungers of our hearts. And they're the same hungers that Jesus wrestled with 2,000 years ago. They're still the hunger of people's hearts. If people are going to go astray, it's going to be because of these three hungers. And if you don't have them straight, and I don't have them straight, it's going to stop me, even though I say I want to. Right? Because it doesn't matter what you say. It's kind of nice to listen to, but it's not the most important thing. It's not what you say. It's how you wrestle with these three hungers and how you listen solely to the voice of God. And that's what leads us to a deeper fellowship and faith. And so the next 40 days, season of Lent, you got 40 days. Well, actually, only got about 36 now, but still lots of times. And my hope is that you're going to want to grow spiritually. And if you want to grow spiritually, then you're going to have to look at those hungers inside you where you wrestle all by yourself. And my hope is that as you wrestle and as you sort through this stuff, you'll make the choice that I want to follow one voice and one voice only. It is not my voice. It is not the voice of our culture. It is the voice of Christ, for it is that voice that will help you to grow spiritually and take you one step closer to Him.